Welcome to the Coaching Kool-Aid. Today, we're in conversation with Professor Tatiana Bakirova of Oxford Brookes University. In our respective locked down corners of the earth, we discuss Tatiana's beautiful ideas that can make us ill and reflect on the increased need for critical thinking in these times. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Tatiana, thank you so much for being with us here today over Zoom.
Lovely to see you too.
We last saw you at the Evidence-Based Coaching Conference at Sydney University earlier this year. Doesn't that feel like a lifetime ago?
Oh, it's definitely feel like a lifetime ago because so many things has changed. It's amazing how life can actually change practically within a month to a completely different one.
At that conference, you gave a talk that I have to say was the standout talk of the conference. It generated more dialogue than I think any other. It was called Coaching Discipline versus Coaching Popularism. What's the score? Great title. And really, it just got everybody talking. I think that it's really important to have those kinds of discussions. I have to say, I think it really embodied the spirit of the Coaching Kool-Aid, which is this podcast. The reason that we started it was in order to address the issue of what you have termed beautiful ideas that can make us ill. Can you elaborate on that compelling phrase for us?
Yes, I started thinking about that quite some time ago, but sort of never formulated it in a way that would be that provocative. And when I tried for the first time to talk about that in Finland, I was just simply amazed how responsive people were to this topic. And what it told me, that reaction, that we are ready to start looking much more critically at what we are doing. And that was something behind it. Because there is an expectation that we're supposed to be, as coaches, to be motivating, to be always positive, or to bring some special energy. But there is always a shadow side to it. And that's what it was about. So I was just saying, yes, we do carry wonderful ideas. We borrow them from where we use them with our clients. But there is a shadow side of it. And we shouldn't forget about that. Mm-hmm. And I picked up on three ideas. And what was the discussion?
Yeah, it was fascinating. Could you tell our listeners about those three ideas?
Yes, so the three kind of unfortunate one that I've chosen were positive thinking, or more or less positive psychology behind it, mindfulness, and transformational coaching. Which one do you want me to talk about?
I'll tell you what, I know you mentioned it last, but for me, the transformational coaching is fascinating. In fact, I remember very specifically, you pointed out in that talk that many organizational coaches are what you described as being obsessed with change, and this idea of transformation, you know, being a huge part of the coaching discourse. But as you pointed out, there are many things that we want to remain stable: family, health, you know, a livable environment, planet survival. And I was just thinking, my gosh, this is really, really just being brought into stark relief with our current crisis, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is fascinating, because the questions that we are asking now, what we actually had to be asking a long time ago, and we were too busy changing things. And this is interesting. That what me actually made me think this morning, that sort of nature is actually much more powerful than we might think of it. And it's not that I'm attributing sort of the consciousness to nature, but I'm just saying sometimes with our busy lives, we need to have a very powerful reminder of what is important. And that's what is happening right now.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast in the last couple of days, and this woman, actually a woman in the UK, Liana Fricker, she described it as the universe saying, here, hold my beer, I'll make these decisions for you, because you all clearly need to stop and take stock. And the transformation thing, I think, is particularly relevant at the moment, because I don't know if this is sort of the popular discourse where you are, Tatiana, but certainly the sort of the stuff coming out of social media and wherever at the moment is, you know, if you don't come out of this time having transformed in some way, then you've wasted this time. And I think that there's almost an expectation that this time is going to be transformative for a lot of people. What do you think about that?
So quite a good challenge. it might be transformation, exactly. But it's a transformation that more or less are created by life itself, okay, rather than us imposing it on people. And this is what I was thinking, what is our purpose, okay? And like with good gardeners, so they can't push the plant grow faster. What they can do is just only provide right conditions. So are we those pushers of transformation, or are we in service of it? and that is slightly different thing. So and what I'm saying right now, we should be more in service. We just need to observe what wants to be happening right now. And that it might be exactly an opportunity, because we are much more now prone to rethink what is happening in our life.
Do you think most people are rethinking?
I think there are sort of waves. I feel like it's like waves. There is the wave of first of sort of disbelief. Then it was a wave of anger. Then it's a wave of some sort of recognition that there are good things about it. And that's what is kind of going on and off all the time. And my main concern in relation to that was that there was a lot of fear, and the fear is sort of like overarching feelings that's still there. And for that reason, I wrote that little piece of fear versus learning, suggesting that we need to sort of counteract somehow that overarching emotional mode that is kind of, you feel it everywhere.
Yes.
But learning, sorry if I go a little bit now sort of into theory.
I love it.
Please do.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm just thinking we can't control our thoughts that much. Okay? That is the human nature. So they come, okay? And fear come by itself. Okay, although we can probably control, but it's a very limited opportunity for it. So there are a lot of different thoughts and different emotions are happening. And I'm just thinking, if we can control them ourselves just by will, so what can come and more or less counteract that fear? Because what it only can happen is just some competing forces in our mind that can push the fear away, or at least to minimize it a little bit when it's not necessary. And I think some of these competing things could be like love, what I postulated. But another important thing is learning, okay? Because we love learning as a kind of human creatures. And that's what I was saying. As coaches, it would be wonderful if we actually use that as an opportunity and start asking people questions that facilitate their learning. And I would say, in our job, learning about ourselves a lot.
And I think that the key there is that it doesn't necessarily have to be a massive transformational shift that somebody makes in this time, that it can just be the tiniest little increments of self-awareness or you know, how have I reacted to this, you know, what has fear meant for me, and what do I need to refuel so that I can keep doing whatever it is that I need to keep doing in this time. Absolutely, there's an opportunity to learn something here, but does it need to be this massive transformational coming out of your chrysalis at the end of this and being a butterfly?
Yeah, I think it's just all wishful thinking in relation to that. Because we do change just kind of in incremental ways. And sometimes questions that are so simple actually are much more meaningful. Where would you draw the boundaries of your responsibilities for others? Okay? Obviously for yourself. But when you draw the responsibility for others in this difficult time? Or would you want actually to work less or more? Or would you want your children or to work less or more after all this. It's not just only one crisis that make it so complex for us, okay? It's a thought that this crisis may be repeatable. So that could be one of the part of our existence, okay? Absolutely. Who knows? Maybe that's this pandemics that will be happening every time. So that's why I said small things, looking at us and thinking, what would I like to change? What I would like to stay like that? What would I consider more important in my life now?
Absolutely. Mm. I think that's so true. The first thing you mentioned was positivity. One of the really big things that I can see people feeling an enormous frustration about is this underlying current of the desire to make people feel like they need to be happy in this time, productive in this time. There was that horrible meme going around, you know, if you don't come out of isolation with a new skill, it's not that you had no time, it's that you had no motivation. This kind of, we've described it as like that Protestant ethic, that Protestant work ethic of you have to be working really hard to prove that you're worthy of salvation or to prove that you're worthy of this positive mindset. It's I can't see it going down well, and yet it still seems to perpetuate. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's a good point as well. And I would say, why do we actually create that horrible pressure for ourselves to be someone else? Okay? And it's a okay. The positivity sometimes comes, sometimes go. It's a part of nature, but. Saying that some emotions that are essentially better than others, it's just simply ridiculous because they are all productive. They are all useful. Okay, if you are actually sinking in complete depression, it's a different thing. Okay? But we talk about the normal kind of pace of life. And we are just saying you only have to be that cheerful self-exploiter. That's ridiculous. I don't know. And you also said one interesting thing, that sort of pressure of becoming someone else, okay, of kind of you have to come out of something. So, and this is why I'm saying we are creating these expectations, and then we fail these expectations quite often. And then what happens? And this is, for me, good examples of beautiful ideas that make us ill.
Absolutely.
So true. Because then you're just beating yourself up because you're not seeing all the positivity in this time.
What's wrong with being grumpy sometimes?
Absolutely nothing. That is my mantra.
I think one of the reasons, well, I mean, we went to your workshop in September of last year as well. So I think that's when we first started to talk to you about our podcast and the fact that we had done an episode about the problem with positivity, where we looked into just that, you know, sort of finding that balance between not sugarcoating everything and the fact that it's okay sometimes to just sit with that grumpy mood or to sit with disappointment or to sit with anger or, you know, whatever it is, as opposed to sort of rushing people through that phase.
It's an interesting time now though, isn't it? Because we're not in normal times. And I see a lot of people, especially in the psychology realm, really fretting about people's psychological health, and rightly so. I mean, I've read psychologists talking about it being the largest mass trauma of the century, which is, it sounds like hyperbole, but it may well be, we don't know yet. So it's interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, yeah, we need to let ourselves sit with the very dark feelings that are arising. And yet I suppose it is you're talking about the boundaries of responsibility. What are the responsibilities for coaches in your mind to get people, you know, thinking about their emotions and not drowning if possible?
Yeah, and this is what I believe what is missing right now. It's a criticality, I would say, okay? Because we are so much on one side of the story that we need to be positive about everything, okay? And that means accepting of a lot of things, which is not a bad idea to some degree. But the ability to see things clearly and to be naming things when they not go right, okay, it's also a very important thing. So, and I would say it's equal drive for some development, for some personal understanding, is not to be afraid to look at something that not well or not good.
And it's that interesting point, isn't it? You know, it's one of the biggest points of contention is, when does coaching become psychology, and when do coaches have to step back if they don't have a degree in psychology and not go down that path? It's a problem that many coaches face when they feel like they might be dealing with pathology. And it's definitely drilled into us that as coaches, we're not psychologists. We shouldn't be going down that path. And yet I wonder if we could get your thoughts in a time of what we can only call crisis, when so many people are dealing with emotions that they normally wouldn't in their everyday life. What are the boundaries of our responsibility for dealing with situations that we may not encounter in our everyday lives?
Look, I always were a little bit sort of dubious about that strong division in terms of what is coaching in this regard and what is not coaching in that regard. And I remember even at some point there was very strict recommendation by some professional bodies saying that we are not even supposed to be dealing with emotions, so people should be able to handle them themselves.
Do we cut those out of the human? Remove those emotions.
Leave those at the door.
But that's why I was arguing. There is a very strange line between what we call coaching. I just think we are all in service of self-understanding and development of people in one or another way. And look, if you don't work with the whole person, what are you working with then? I don't know.
Great question. Great question. So we've talked about positivity, we've talked about transformation. What was the second aspect?
It was mindfulness.
We actually did a two-part podcast on mindfulness, Tatiana.
In terms of mindfulness, once again, I guess it's something that a lot of people are encouraging as a good way to deal with a lot of the negative thoughts that are arising, to deal with the stress and just the fear of not knowing, once again. Mm-hmm. So I guess a lot of coaches are prescribing it, for want of a better word. So I'd love to hear your thoughts.
That's what I'm saying, is kind of when people were suggesting that I'm kind of attacking all these ideas. I'm not saying that it's good. But what I'm strongly against is to see it as panacea for everything, okay? And more than that, is an ideology, okay? And that is the sort of the most difficult bit. So it means that right now, if you are not mindful, you failed again. And I would just say, it's okay. Some people live in a different pace, in a different life. So part of our job as coaches is actually to pay attention to differences, okay? To nurture sometimes these differences, and not to kind of have a blanket recommendation for everyone to deal with everything in the same way. And that becomes like that with mindfulness. Because the whole idea behind mindfulness, it's, again, sort of attention to what is happening, acceptance of what is happening to eventually in a kind of tradition, spiritual tradition. But sometimes things don't need to be accepted. So sometimes things need to be fought against.
When you talk about positivity, to have any learning or to move beyond that feeling of I don't want to feel like this, or this situation isn't acceptable to me, you need that level of disequilibrium. And maybe that's not accepting what is happening to you at the moment. There is that, like, this isn't quite right, I need to do something about this.
Exactly. Thank you for reminding that, because someone actually asked me after that talk, said, okay, I cannot see what you're advocating. It's sort of a balance or yin yang situation. I said, not exactly. Okay, I'm advocating, it's actually nothing specific. What I'm exactly advocating is, sometimes things need to be like that. Sometimes things need to be another way, actually the opposite way, okay? Balance, it's another prescription.
Yes. So true.
That is true.
So true. Like, let's try desperately to hold these two things that are seemingly in opposition to one another.
Like the work-life balance thing.
work-life balance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So have to look at the situation as it is and see what would be the most sensible response to it.
And that's going to be different all the time.
Exactly.
Mm. And I think that's what you talk about, philosophical pragmatism, which was what's going to suit this person in this moment.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
So, Tatiana, what we usually ask at this point is, what do you see as being the biggest challenges faced by coaches at the moment? You've outlined three beautifully. Is there anything that you see as being external to that, that is a particularly salient challenge for coaches in this very strange context?
I just think we probably need to respond exactly what life demands from us now. And I think it's, for some reason, created the opportunity to look much more deep inside, okay? Because what we normally do, we zoom in, we zoom out, okay? We sort of, in systemic way, we help people to see more in the environment and respond well to this environment. When we zoom in, we try to understand what is happening within, what is kind of deeper drives that are influencing the person, okay? And my guess is right now, the external environment is just, to some extent, has put a limit on it. Okay. But there is much more opportunity to look that deep inside, to zoom in. And that's why I'm saying, if we are actually inviting people to look carefully in what are the main drivers, what do they want, how do they see life now, because a lot of things are kind of bubbling inside, which actually might be very productive for self-understanding and learning.
One of your other roles, Tatiana, is you actually run the coaching supervision program at Oxford Brookes. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think you are my supervisor's supervisor. So thank you for that. I get like a trickle down of your knowledge and skill. What are you sort of seeing as some of the themes that are coming out for coaching supervisors at this time?
I think in terms of supervision, we were always doing what needs to be done. And this is what I am inviting my supervisors. It's just to help coaches themselves to make sense of what is going on and how they work and what are their priorities and in what way they can be much more helpful to their clients. So I don't think it's much has changed for supervisors. Maybe again, more opportunities to look deeper into the not the doing element of the coach's work, but the self of the coach.
The purpose and the philosophy rather than the practice, yeah. Mm.
Because I think we are getting to the kind of good level of professionalism in terms of practice. But what is missing, it's a more kind of inclusive conceptual picture of our approaches, and we are not thinking enough about that.
Renee and I would often come to the conclusion at the end of our podcasts from the last season about mindfulness and positivity and authenticity. I guess we sometimes felt like we were just spending a whole podcast bagging out this particular approach or idea. And so we would often try to say, okay, so what is the application within coaching? And one of the things we would always come back to is just that need for supervision for coaches to be able to just be constantly checking back in that, you know, that one sort of, I guess, ism wasn't dictating everything that we did in coaching.
That's a good reminder. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, and that is the part of the philosophy that is the most kind of suffering usually in our three P's. and I always pay more attention to that when we work with coaches. And it's very interesting. I just think that's another a route for self-understanding that is often we forget about our values, often we forget about what are the significant influences in our life. Exactly, recognizing these isms and playing with them.
Yes. My supervisor, thanks to you, actually did get me to do the three P's. And it's really interesting that I found the practice piece easy. You know, this is what I tend to do, and you know, I tend to come back to this philosophy. Yes, that was, you know, also easy, right. But purpose, I'm still coming back to it.
I think you are right, because this is what people struggle, because we assume very often of what coaching is about. But what you are trying to achieve, it's not that simple. I remember when I was first, I started counseling, I was agonizing about that. What I'm doing, who I am actually, influence those people who come to me for help, okay? And in what way I'm actually can expect to change something, and why do I think it is better than what they would do without me? So that was very important question.
Can I ask you a really difficult question? If you were going to coach leaders of your country or global leaders at the moment, what do you think would be your focus?
I probably would start from simply understanding why they became leaders, because it's very disappointing actually to see so many leaders in the world right now who I don't think are actually supposed to be there. So the question would be, if I were, for example, coaching the New Zealand Prime Minister, well, let's call it like that.
Lucky you.
I would see my function as just as support, okay, because she's doing a fantastic job. If I were coaching, I don't even want to name some of those.
We can assume.
No, first of all, I don't think they would choose me. I'm too critical. But no, I wouldn't give up on anyone. If there was an opportunity and they were prepared to work with me, yes. But I would probably start contracting from the actual, if you want to work with me, you need to kind of accept my style as well. And people describe my style as just sort of cutting to the chase. And then we would just go bit by bit of what are the challenges for them, what needs to be taken into account. Are you apt for it or not?
I think it's really interesting you said I would ask them, why are they leaders? And I wonder if that 3 P's model wouldn't be perfect for people in that position as well. In fact, if it isn't perfect for so many things outside of the coaching space.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's a very interesting observation. Yes.
Tatiana, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Lovely to think together with you this morning.
Thanks, Tatiana.
Thank you.
It's really wonderful.
And good night in your case. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.